Welcome back. I'm Michaela Lafrak, sitting in for Kojo Namdi. Now, our next topic of conversation is something I think a lot of us could use right now, comedy. Comedy clubs and bars where comics perform shut down in March, 8 months ago, like businesses all across the region. But that hasn't stopped comedians from performing and making us laugh. Comedy shows moved outside and to our favorite tech friend, Zoom. So 8 months into this new way of life, how has comedy's new normal been working out? How are comics processing our current situation? And is making jokes about coronavirus even okay? Or should that be off limits right now? Joining me to discuss all of this is three experts in the comedy scene. First, Kim Levone is the founder and producer of Improbable Comedy. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yasmin El-Hadi is an attorney by day and a stand-up comedian by night. Hi, Yasmin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And lastly, Tommy Taylor Jr. is an actor, filmmaker, and stand-up comedian. Welcome.
Hello, hello. What's going on?
Hi. Now, Kim, let's start with you. I know you've been producing comedy shows for nearly 10 years now. So what have the last 8 months been like for you? And can you even believe it's been 8 months?
It has been a big adjustment. We had to cancel our March show. That was a big show that we had planned, and it was pretty disappointing. But yeah, and by April, we had actually, I had heard of other people who had started to do Zoom comedy shows, and I thought, all right, let's give it a shot. So we've done two or three a month since then, and we do it in a Zoom room, so we actually have kind of a live audience with us, but it is definitely different. The sound is different. The crowd work is different. The audience engagement, yeah, it's been an adjustment.
So walk us through a Zoom comedy show for somebody who hasn't been to one yet. Help us picture it. What's it like for the audience and then also for the comedians?
Sure. So the way we do it, there's actually a Zoom room, the same way if you were on a conference call, there'd be like a room. Mm-hmm. And the comedians are there and the audience logs on. And then the show runs about an hour. In our best shows, we have lots of people with their cameras turned on and some people who are unmuted, and we can hear them and the comedians can hear them laugh, which makes it much more fun. One of our weirdest shows was when everyone had their camera turned off. That was a bizarre that was a bizarre phenomenon. But mostly, you know, once people relax into it, it feels like a comedy show. You're watching these performers who are so funny with great perspective, saying things that you would probably not even permit yourself to think. And you know, the laughter is such a big release. So in many ways, once the show starts, it does feel normal-ish, minus some sound glitches and some barriers. And, you know, then the show ends and we're like, thank you very much for coming. Get home safely, even though most of them are in their living rooms, and it ends.
Yeah, normal-ish, I think, is a word that many of us can relate to right now. Yeah. Yasmin, as you know, the audience is such a critical part of a comedy show, as Kim was just telling us. So as a stand-up yourself, how have you adapted to doing shows on Zoom? How's that going?
It's definitely not easy. I have, in many ways, had to learn how to take visual cues from people because they do mute their microphones often, especially if they have small children or other, you know, responsibilities at home, loud noises. And I understand how that feels because I have a one-year-old and a three-year-old. So I've learned to accept their visual cues to keep me going, like, oh, they like that. They're smiling. It is really difficult when you can't see them at all. I just had a show on Saturday where I didn't see anybody, but I had the benefit of doing some of the same material on other Zoom shows where I got to see people's faces, and sometimes they were unmuted and you can hear them laugh. So a lot of the times you have to try out your material kind of in different ways. I've also actually like resorted to FaceTiming some of my friends and doing the show before I go on Zoom just to see their reaction, if it's good enough, etc. I have like a core group of two or three friends, including my best friend and my brother, who often help me tweak my comedy. But it's been a big adjustment. I've tried my best to be creative. I do videos as well on my Instagram, like comedy videos. And it just helps kind of release the tension because everyone is going through COVID together. And although obviously the topic is very serious, I kind of try to poke fun at it. Like my mom had always wanted me to be a doctor because I'm the daughter of immigrants. And so I'm like, you know, now that the doctors are, you know, on the front line, she's like, oh, I'm okay. You're not a doctor. It's fine. You know, you're less... you're less good than them, but it's still better than, you know, dying on the front line, which, you know, it's like, it's a difficult topic, but it's still, it can, you know, I can try to make it light, but the videos have been a really great way for me to also engage with a new audience and to touch on topics that I think other mothers are feeling especially kind of overwhelmed, or, you know, when you're stuck in the house with your spouse and there's no escaping from them. You're like, I married this person? Like, I married all of this person. I didn't even know they did that in their private space. And suddenly it's public. So that's how kind of I've tried to adapt, to try to see it as an opportunity to do things to expand my repertoire and to get engagement in other ways, to see, hey, that's funny, people like that, I can do more of that.
Now, before we go to the phone lines, I have to ask, you mentioned you had a 1 and a 3-year-old, so have they ever kind of wandered into the screen as you've been performing?
Yes, actually, in fact, on Saturday I had a show and I was on with Hasan Minhaj, was also one of the guest speakers on this show, and my son was screaming and banging on the door the entire time, yelling mommy for a good 17 minutes. because he had escaped from my husband downstairs, and he was like, hey, I thought, well, I was watching one of them. I'm like, you got to watch both of them. That's how that works, actually. Yeah. So I've had one of those moments. I've had them when they've, you know, have wandered through, but I try to hide them as quick as possible because I don't like to broadcast my kids over the internet. Most people think that I've just made them up because they've never seen them. But yeah, I've definitely had one of those moments, like, that particular he was like an analyst, I think, about Asia, and his daughter kind of, you know, came into the room strutting, and then his wife like pulled both of the kids. That was pretty funny. we've all had those debacles.
We have. I want to bring in Ilhan in Silver Spring here. Ilhan, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. And first, I'd like to say, or rather give a shout out to my friend Yasmin. You remember me, right, Yasmin?
I love you, Ilhan. Of course. Of course.
Hi. So my question was, how have comedians had to change their timing? So the reason I'm thinking of that timing and delivery and of, you know, the punchline and everything, because as I watched Seth Meyers, when he had an audience, you know, his delivery was fine. But then when he didn't have an audience, there was this empty space that kind of made the joke fall flat and wasn't as funny anymore. So have you had to make changes in terms of your timing when you don't have an actual live audience there?
Yes. Yasmin, do you want to take that one?
Yeah. Hi, Ilhan. She's so lovely. Yeah, I have actually had to change my timing a lot. What I've done to try to fill that empty space is, first of all, you have to actually slow down your joke. And even when you're performing on stage, you don't know necessarily what's going to get the biggest laugh, but you do have to sort of allow time for people to laugh. With Zoom, you really do have to kind of elongate that time because there's a delay often. There are sound glitches, like Kim so expertly, you know, shared with us. And so when that happens, what I actually do to fill that space is I usually do facial expressions or more hand movements to try to show, like, hey, I'm waiting for you to laugh, sort of like to cue the audience, like, hey, was that funny? What do you guys think? So I've definitely had to, I would say, slow down my delivery. And timing is everything in comedy. So you can imagine it's not ideal, but we are trying our best.
Now, we have just a minute before we have to take a break. But Tommy, I'd love to hear your perspective on this, too, because I know you've been doing several Zoom comedy shows. So how is that going for you, especially in terms of timing of your jokes?
Yes, I think, well, first of all, I bring my own laugh track, so make sure my timing is always there. But yeah, I think like everyone was saying, you definitely have to a lot of times you have to perform for yourself, you know, kind of be confident, slow your jokes down. But I think it's really it's much more difficult because, like, I think sometimes the improvisation of stand-up comedy is missing because you kind of feed off the audience. You see somebody react and you react back, but it's all just you. So, like, you really have to be a little narcissistic, I think, a little more narcissistic than usual, just to, you know, run through your jokes and, you know, kind of believe in it a little bit more.
Right. A little narcissistic. That's an interesting way to put it. Now, we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we will continue talking about the region's comedy scene and how comedians are still making us laugh through the coronavirus pandemic, even as case numbers continue to tick up. Stay tuned and stay with us.
This month at WAMU, we're lifting our voices to shine a light on Black changemakers throughout American history. Some you know and some you don't, but they all change the world. Go to WAMU.org/lifteveryvoice to learn the stories of these incredible African-American changemakers and to hear special interviews spotlighting those who have impacted the arts, sciences, sports, and activism. Go to WAMU.org/lifteveryvoice.
And we're back. You're listening to the Kojo Namdi Show. I am Michaela Lafrak, filling in for Kojo, and we are discussing the region's comedy scene during the coronavirus pandemic. Now, I want to go to the phones right now. We have a caller, Anna, from Northeast D.C. Anna, you are on the air.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for your, taking my call. This is just a comment. I started doing improv comedy in person in 2019 at DC Improv, which is one of the oldest comedy clubs in DC. And we were all devastated when when they had to close in March because of the pandemic. And you know, it's kind of counterintuitive. You wouldn't think that it would work, but I've done four classes with them now online via Zoom, and it's actually been tremendous. And as your speakers were saying, you know, you find new ways to adapt. And for me, you know, I kind of feel like I'm in a creative desert during the week, and this really gives me a creative outlet and, you know, just a chance to let off steam. But one of the really cool things too is that my parents in Minnesota, and you know, even friends as far away as Seattle and Paris, have been able to tune in to our shows, and that never would have happened before the pandemic. So just a real shout out to the DC Improv folks for everything they're doing to keep comedy alive in the DMV.
Thank you, Anna. Now, Kim, I'm curious what your thoughts are on that. How have you seen the comedy community strengthen and grow during the pandemic?
Yeah, one of the really exciting things to see is how creative people have gotten. I know the Improv is doing classes, but they're doing like drive-in comedy. A number of people have put on live shows outdoors. And so, you know, that used to be very taboo. Nobody would ever have done a show outdoors. You know, that the whole idea of comedy was small, intimate spaces, dark room, late at night, you know. And so this idea of doing comedy on a broad scale in a big open space with open air would have seemed counterintuitive, but people have really embraced it because that's the only way that it could happen. And I think especially for the performers, it's so... you know, it's so like a part of who they are to get up on stage and grab that microphone and like dominate for a few minutes. So it's great. You know, it's great that people have found creative ways to do that. And I would agree with the caller. We also have found so many people have been able to come to our shows who never would have come. People with mobility issues, people with financial issues, people who just don't like leaving their house. People from all across the country, different parts of the world have logged in at different times. So I would agree there have been a lot of opportunities that have come out of this time.
Now, you mentioned creative ways to do comedy shows. Comedian and Silver Spring native Dave Chappelle got creative himself over the summer. He started doing comedy shows at his neighbor's farm in Ohio, and he talked about it recently on Saturday Night Live just last week. Let's take a listen.
All summer long, you know what I've been doing? I've been doing shows in Ohio. I live in a small town in Ohio, and a lot of these small towns in America was dying. My town was dying. So what I did is I did shows in my neighbor's cornfield, and these shows were very successful. The local farmers, my neighbors, started to complain that my shows were too noisy in a cornfield. Too noisy in a cornfield. I had to have a whole town meeting about how noisy I was being in the cornfield. It was so embarrassing. And I resented it.
Tommy, I know you've done some outdoor comedy events. How have they gone for you? And did you also upset your neighbors?
Hopefully not. But I have been doing outdoor shows. Before the quarantine, we did a show called Almost Ladies Night. It was a very popular, or is a very popular, I'm going to speak it into existence when the world opens back up. A show we were selling out shows at the City Winery in different places and the DC Comedy Loft. But we started doing them. Actually, I redesigned my backyard since I had so much ample time this year, so I made like a stage, like little areas for people to sit and congregate. It had like a little quasi bar. But yeah, it's been interesting. And I'm in Southeast DC. So, we're kind of in an oasis in the middle of the hood, so to speak, or literally. One funny thing, we did have some random people just kind of wander into the yard because, you know, you hear laughter and all this, you know, fun stuff going on. It's been cool just, you know, making sure everyone is safe, you know, first of all, with the social distancing, but physical distancing, masks, sanitized stations. So you have to take a lot more precautions and things like that. But it's been a lot of fun. And, it's funny, people like opening their windows and you're kind of spreading joy to like the neighborhood and the community, which, you know, definitely a time we all need it. And I guess like our mental health, I wasn't really a believer into mental health until I was like in the house by myself for like 5 or 6 months. But, you know, having that relief, just spreading some joy to people is pretty cool.
Well, I like that distinction that you make between being physically distant but still being socially close to people. Now, I wanted to go to Tim in Washington, D.C. Tim, you are on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michaela. You mentioned at the top of the segment about whether it was kind of safe to make fun of COVID in comedy. And I have a comedy podcast called Optophobia, which is a fake talk show about fake conspiracy theories using DC-based improv comedians. Hmm. And so each new season is a different conspiracy that we make up. And last season, we decided to take on COVID to make fun of it in a way that we thought was safe to do. We called it, we made up a new disease called Covfefe-19 and had a kind of a created a universe around that. And each guest that came on, each improv comedian who came on had a new conspiracy about how it started or who had started it or that kind of thing. And I think it turned out pretty fun.
That's great. Well, Yasmin, as Tim mentions here, COVID is a difficult topic, especially for people who might have gotten the virus or even lost a loved one. But tough topics have always fueled comedy. So as a comedian, how do you find the lighter side of what we're all going through? Like Tim seems to be trying to do himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key there is that we're all going through it together. So there's lots of times and you can really emotionally connect with an audience about something that we're all experiencing together. I think that that's the most powerful comedy, where we can tap into a shared feeling and to be able to speak things that kind of like Kim was saying, speak things that you wouldn't imagine speaking out loud, just your thoughts. Like Tommy was saying, that it's about spreading joy, you know, to people during a really dark time. And I did an outdoor show very much inspired by Dave Chappelle, like on a farm in a barn called Love and Laughter. And, I brought a couple comedians from Philadelphia, from New Jersey that drove down and had a local band. And it was great. I mean, it sold out in 2 days. That's how much people really needed and wanted to be there. We had to get a special permit license for it. And it was 60 people, you know, tops. And we had to, you know, I had to take out the tape measure and do 8 feet in between, you know, I didn't do 6 feet. I did 8 feet between each of the, you know, the rows just to be safe. But, it's one of those things. I mean, it was amazing to do comedy about what we were all sort of going through, which is like, you know, oh, how is the online dating app world, you know, looking like these days for people because of COVID? It's like people are thirsty out here. How do we meet this need? This is rough. You know, like, how do you know who's sick? How do you know who is it? Obviously, that's something I can't speak to, but some of the other comedians can. And it's like tapping into this, these bizarre, strange times that we're in and that we're all experiencing together. Obviously, like I said before, with me and the kids, you know, I kind of just went with it. Like on Saturday when my son was banging on the door and screaming, mommy. Yeah. I was like, you know, look, see, I can't get rid of them. Like I can't even, the bathroom isn't even my quiet space. Like I just see fingers underneath like, mommy, what are you doing? I want to see. And I'm like, there's nothing to see. It's not a show. you know, I'll just wait. Like, no. And we, I think we can all experience that together. I think, especially if you're a parent or something, you know, the bathroom was like your sacred space to watch Facebook videos and maybe to buy things online. Now it's like the place where you're writing your last will and testament, you know, and just like trying to just escape and find quiet time. So I think that's the way. I think that's the way that, you know, we can poke fun at something kind of in the safest way, not to talk about obviously the suffering that's involved, but to talk about the very real difficulties of quarantine, of like, you know, like socially distancing from everyone, including the door, so you don't make a run for it. Yeah.
Let's go to, Charlotte in Falls Church, Virginia. Charlotte, you are on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. I have a quick question. I just was wondering how I can find out more information about watching a Zoom comedy show and also how much they cost.
That's a great question. Kim, would you like to provide your take?
Sure. I can say for us, we actually changed our pricing. We used to just charge kind of an early bird rate and a regular price for tickets, you know, when we were doing shows at Busboys and Poets or Post 41 Silver Spring. Now that we're doing them online, not so much because they're online, but just because of the way the financial crisis has hit so many people, we actually are doing pay what you can for our shows. And that's been really interesting because some people really do pay like a dollar or $5, and some people pay $50. So it's great because we've been able to pay our comedians, which is really important to us, but also that it enables people who can't pay more than that to also attend the shows. And there are lots of Zoom comedy shows. I mean, you can certainly check ours out, but there are other people doing shows. There's a show called Hannah's Basement on Zoom, and you can go to our website and find out more about our shows. So there are lots of shows if you Google kind of local Zoom comedy in the DC area. I think you'll be able to find.
All right. Sounds like lots of different options out there. Let's go to Beth in Arlington, Virginia. Beth, you're on the air.
I am a nurse, and I do COVID testing, and we do the walk-in and the drive-up, and we actually do use humor quite a bit because, you know, inherently, whatever job you have, there's always just funny situations, and so, yeah, that has really gotten us through in a lot of situations. So, I mean, funny things are like, you know, people driving up in their car and rolling down the windows, and then you just get a waft of something really good. And, yeah, I think everybody knows, you know, what's going on, and we have to be our professional selves. But we're like, wow, hey, guys, smells really good in here. And so, you know, we try to keep it light, even with our clients and things like that. But there's been a lot of really funny situations, and I think people coming to us really appreciate it, too. So shout out to you guys, keeping it light. We really enjoy all that you do.
Well, thank you, Beth, and all the other first responders out there. And I do relate. I've done a couple of the at-home or do-it-yourself COVID tests. And there is something inherently funny about sticking something very far up your nose. Now, Tommy, can you tell us some of the jokes or the material that you've been working on or performing that's related to this current moment?
Oh, man. There's just so much going on. It's kind of hard, you know, not to come over material. I don't know. I was thinking the other day, like, how I just miss, you know, like, trying to make the best of COVID, but I miss a lot of the simple things, you know, like being able to cough in public. That used to be a thing about people judging you, like giving you evil looks and stuff. The nurse was, you know, thank you all for your service. But, you know, even like, I miss people saying, God bless you. Like, that used to be a thing, right? Like, I feel like so long ago that you hear that. You know, like I even miss my like annoying coworkers. You would go in the office and like you would sneeze, like, oh, God bless you. Like they were so excited, so enthusiastic to say God bless you. Like you're sneezing and choo, God bless you again. Like I get, thank you. I appreciate it. Like you're halfway across the room. Like I miss like those simple moments. You know, like COVID's really changed life for everybody in so many different ways. Even like these, you know, very simple things. So those are some of the things. And like, and also like now everybody's broke. Right, so I think like it makes everybody more relatable to each other, because like even if you have money right now, you don't have anywhere to spend it. You can't go anywhere. So like like you don't have money to spend. I don't have. You can't spend anywhere. I don't have money to spend. So like we're all even now. So I think it's a great equalizer. It's so much to talk about now. So it's a pretty exciting time to be able to tell your jokes in person or virtually, where, you know, you're the only one laughing at them.
Sure. So it sounds like there's a lot of material out there. Let's go to Sean in Hyattsville. Sean, you are on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you for having me here. First time caller in, not a long time listener, but
welcome.
Thank you. I have an opinion about, you know, our distractions, what we want to keep distracting ourselves with right now during this pandemic. Ever since it started, everyone's been just so full of, like, oh, you know, keep it light, keep the levity up, you know, keep it going. And it's, where's that time where we're going to sit down and actually take a look at what we're doing as a society and as a nation? That deep, dark look into our psyche and into ourselves. Because it doesn't feel like it's happened yet, and I've been waiting.
Well, Yasmin, I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. Do you feel like comedy is kind of helping us probe deeper into our psyches and how we're reacting to the pandemic, or is it more of a distraction?
Well, I think it can do both. You guys just played an excellent clip from Dave Chappelle's Saturday Night Live monologue. And if you watch the full monologue, it is heavy. While it has some levity in it, it actually does talk about difficult things that we're grappling with, like racism, like equality, like the proper valuing of things in society. So, you know, just that joke that that you guys broadcast about his neighbors, and kind of like he's saying, okay, I'm trying to save this town, and yet people are still complaining. You know, like, and I find that wild, you know, and he keeps going with that joke. And he kind of explains that this is something that is deeper. And he makes a very difficult and dark point, actually, in that entire monologue. And at the end of that joke, which, you know, it's just a cliffhanger. If you haven't seen it now, you're going to have to go Google it, guys. And go check it out on YouTube or whatnot. But I think that there's lots of people who are talking about what's going on in our society. And the question is, you know, is it the comic's role to do that? I think some comedians are able to do that. And that I think I would put them in the master comedian category. But then some comedians can't do that, or their material doesn't take them there, or they simply, because of their artistic license, don't want to go there. So, you know, for example, for me, I know that I am kind of actually a pretty heavy person. People, you know, wouldn't, I think, first, that's not their first, you know, first idea about me. But I actually do think, you know, sometimes in the worst case scenario, I have, yeah, I'm a lawyer by training. So that's how we think. And so I'm looking for comedy as an escape, personally. But, you know, for other people, they want to grapple with those difficult issues. For me, like, I'm just trying to survive. Like, that's my 2020, like, resolution, like survival 2020. Right. That's how I'm thinking about it. So for me, a part of survival is, like, you know, picking up the mood. You know, I have a 1 year old and a 3 year old. They're both little boys, and they are Middle Eastern. You know, I'm half Egyptian, half Libyan. I married a man from Afghanistan, so my kids are a quarter Egyptian, a quarter Libyan, and a half Afghan. So they are like an interesting mix of like the Middle East and Central Asia, and they don't understand personal space. Just to like walk straight up to somebody, you know, not just because they're beautiful, but because they, you know, because they're young and innocent, but because like, that's in their genetics. Like, we're a warm people. So they're just going up to people like, hey, hi, do you want virus? I have the virus. You want to share the virus? Like, so I can like joke around like that and talk about how, you know, for kids, they don't understand boundaries. They don't understand personal space. And at the same time, I am, you know, kind of addressing this, like the sadness of that, you know, that children have this innocence about them and they don't understand why people are wearing masks, you know? So I just think that it really depends on a comedian's style. And I think that there's lots of people who do that genre very well.
And before we move on here, I understand that a friend of yours recently offered to help you with your children, and your son decided to go to the bathroom in an unusual place when she was helping out. So please, can you tell us about that?
This actually did happen. This is a real story. This is not something I made up. My kids have been driving me crazy. So my friend came over, she was like, let me help you out. And I was like, I don't know. Are you sure? My kids are kind of this like hybrid mix of of blood volume. And I don't know if you're gonna be able to handle their energy. She's like, no, it won't be that hard. Well, my kid my 3-year-old decided to walk her to the beginning of our subdivision, the entrance to our neighborhood, and just pull down his pants and poop in the middle of the street, in the mulch, like right at the, just like, hey, welcome to the neighborhood. Hi, I'm Arab. I'm obviously civilized. Deuces. But the other kind, you know, like, what are you doing, little guy? And she comes back and she's like pale in the face. And she's like, can I like talk to you about something weird that just happened? Like, I don't know if it's like your people or like your culture. And I'm like, okay, I wanted you to just slow down. She's like, well, I just don't know. Like, he just pooped in the street. Like, I'm like, hey, that's racist. Okay. This is not about my people or my culture. I'm just a bad mom. Okay. I own that. So that did happen. Literally pooped in the street.
Oh, the stories that happened to us during COVID. Thank you for sharing that. I want to go to Chip in Washington, D.C. now, who I also understand is a comedian. Chip, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm well versed with Tommy Taylor Jr. And as much as COVID has closed down comedians, Zoom comedy has opened us up. I mean, I have done shows in India, in Kuala Lumpur, in Tokyo, in Russia, made contacts with comedians in those countries. And it's interesting how it's changed my writing, which is less regional, and finding that the stuff that I do, because I do a lot of stuff about race, how universal it is. You know, South Africans understand it. Indians understand it, you know, so it has opened up a window to comedy that I never would have had before, and made connections with comedians I never would have met.
Thanks for sharing that. Now, Tommy, I'm curious, have you also felt like you have had a more international audience or international comedy experience during the pandemic?
Yes, actually, I was going to get on you about this through my when you introduced me. I'm also, you say, actor, comedian. I'm also an international ladies' man.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We'll add that to your bio.
It is, but I can't travel right now, so I'm not international. And I actually don't have any women, but I'm speaking into existence. So hopefully that will come. I will get a lady at some point. But, I agree with Chip. I think that the internet, you know, and just being able to have that massive reach has definitely connected us more. Because, you know, this is a pretty unique time in history where literally everybody in the world is going through the exact same thing. Everyone's stuck in the house. We're all having these same experiences. People are getting divorced all over the world in a quarantine. Well, you can't even leave the person you're divorcing in your own house. Like, you just got to go to different corners. So it does make everyone more relatable and more connected. So I've been able to, and even for like doing like Zoom shows or kind of Instagram shows, you're able to, you can't, you know, instead of flying, you know, major comedians in, I can just, you know, have them log on. So you get to connect with, you know, people a lot easier. So we've had, you know, I had like a lot of different celebrity comedians on, which, you know, is much easier now because of the situation we're in and, you know, just the ability to connect with people through social media and through these digital platforms, which I think is pretty cool in a way. Right. And our last the caller before that, he definitely needs some comedy in his life because he sounds very depressed. So I think he's the one of the people we need to target to get a little bit of joy. I don't know who's not self-reflecting when we've been at home for 8 months. I know I have too much. I've been self-reflecting too much. So I think like having a little bit of levity and allows us to think about situations even better, actually. So when we're able to kind of come from a clear mind, you know, laugh a little bit and decompress, and then kind of be able to rehash some of these difficult situations and tasks that we have is, definitely needed right now.
Right. Well, Kim, we only have about 30 seconds left here, but I'm curious to hear from you about the future of the industry after the pandemic eventually ends. Will the, you know, the in-person comedy industry survive this pandemic?
I imagine that for a while it will be pretty hybrid. I think, we certainly, as we're planning into 2021, which we're starting to plan right now, mm-hmm. we are looking at doing Zoom shows and live shows. I can't imagine some of this Zoom won't stick around for the reasons people have shared today, but everybody wants to get back to being in the same room. Mm-hmm. I think people are really craving that. So I imagine that will be pretty strong once we're able to do it safely.
Kim Levone is the founder and producer of Improbable Comedy. Yasmin El-Hadi is an attorney by day and a stand-up comedian by night. And Tommy Taylor Jr. is an actor, filmmaker, international ladies' man, and stand-up comedian. Today's segment on Benford's Law and Election Fraud was produced by Richard Cunningham. Our segment on the local comedy scene was produced by Kurt Gardner. And coming up tomorrow on the Kojo Namdi Show, over 11.5 million people have been infected with COVID-19 in the United States. We'll talk to two doctors about staying safe throughout the holidays. I'm Michaela Lefrak, sitting in for Kojo Namdi. Thank you so much for listening.
The Kojo Namdi Show is produced by Julie Deppenbrock, Sydney Grannon, Lauren Marco, Kurt Gardner, Richard Cunningham, and Ines Renike. Our managing producer is Ingelisa Schroepsdorf. Our broadcast engineer is Rashad Young. Today's engineer was Mike Kidd. For past shows and more content, visit kojoshow.org.
Thanks for listening to the Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.